On Raw Monday night, Paul Heyman told us that we would get an answer from Jey Uso on SmackDown Friday night. Jey Uso would give us an answer as to whether or not he was going to fall in line with the Bloodline and stand with Roman Reigns and stand with Solo Sikoa, or if he would stand with his brother Jimmy after what happened last week when Jimmy was basically excommunicated from the Bloodline on SmackDown. We did not get an answer from Jey Uso tonight. Although tonight on SmackDown, it was the Jey Uso show. The entire Bloodline story revolved around Jey tonight. There was no Roman Reigns. And Jey getting the chance to win his first singles championship in the main event, wrestling Austin Theory for the U.S. title. And Paul Heyman was buttering him up all evening long. Sami Zayn even pulled Jey aside at one point to have a chat with him in the back. What would his decision be? We're going to have to wait a little bit longer to find out about that. And Jey Uso is not the United States champion. There was more drama at the end of the show. Jimmy Uso making an appearance and accidentally kicking his brother in the face. Or was it an accident? Wade Barrett on commentary wasn't so sure, right? They have to plant that seed that maybe it wasn't an accident. Maybe it was intentional. Of course, it was not. But they have to drag things out. This is an episodic television show, and they're going to make you wait. Very similar to what happened before WrestleMania, when it took a very long time for us to get to the point where we got the official announcement of there being a tag team championship match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn challenging the Usos. They dragged that thing out as long as they possibly could. And they're doing the same thing now with this whole Jey Uso story. So I enjoyed the Jey Uso stuff a great deal, because I like Jey Uso, and I like the Bloodline stuff, and so I thought it was good storytelling, you know, predictable maybe, but I thought it was good. But that was about the only thing about the show I can honestly say that was great. There was one of four Money in the Bank qualifying matches that I thought was very good. The rest were just throwaway. Some of them barely went 90 seconds. But one other thing that WWE did tonight that I will give them credit for. WWE tonight took a major step towards correcting some of the problems and some of the issues with their championships. And I've been very vocal about this now for quite some time when it comes to, for example, the women's tag team titles. We have two sets of women's tag team titles on the main roster post-draft. We have the women's tag team champions, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, who won a four-way match on Raw just last week, right, to become the new women's tag team champions. But then they drafted the NXT women's tag team champions, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, from NXT to SmackDown. And they had the chance to have them drop the belts before they went to SmackDown, and they didn't do that. In fact, not only did they not do that, the team they wrestled in their last match in NXT got drafted to Monday Night Raw. We have two sets of women's tag team titles on the main roster. We barely have a need for one, let alone two. And I've been saying, merge them. Merge the titles. Merge the titles into one set of women's tag team belts that you can have defended on Raw, you can have defended on SmackDown, and you can have defended on NXT. And tonight, WWE took a step towards making that happen, because we are getting a tag team title unification match in 2 weeks. That is a good thing. That is a necessary move that should have been made, frankly, a few weeks ago. Actually, it should never have happened in the first place, if we're being honest. But they're doing it now, and that's the thing that matters the most. So I was happy to see that. But we also had Asuka on this show. Asuka is the Raw Women's Champion. And really, Bianca Belair, for several weeks, was the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown because she got drafted. But then she lost the belt to Asuka at Night of Champions. So now Asuka has been the champ. How are you going to have the red belt on the blue brand and the blue belt on the red brand, right? Can't do that. Silly. And they haven't even mentioned it. They haven't addressed it. It's just like business as usual. Well, tonight, they presented Asuka with a brand new championship. They took steps to correct the issue, because there's very few things that you could actually do to correct the issue. Renaming the championship certainly would make sense, so that we don't have to run into this situation ever again or worry about belt swaps because one is a different color than the brand it belongs to. This step that they took tonight to rename the belt and create a totally new championship that is color neutral, let's say, brand color neutral, was a step in the right direction. So we had Asuka on the show tonight, who is not only the WWE Women's Champion. I know, how original, right? Asuka is the WWE Women's Champion, but she is the undisputed WWE Women's Champion. I don't think these people have quite the grasp on exactly what the word undisputed means. I'll show you a little bit later on. I will show you this championship, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But look, I don't want to split hairs. We'll worry about that later. Again, I praise them for making the right move. But then, and again, this is something that we all should have seen coming. This is something that we all should have, we should have smelled it. We should have sensed this, like that sixth sense, you know? Where there is a new championship, there is also Charlotte Flair. And sure enough, on SmackDown tonight, what did we get? We had Charlotte Flair cashing in her Charlotte in the Bank. It's been too long, right? How long has it been? 6 months? I think it's been about 6 months since the last time she cashed in her own briefcase. She doesn't need the Money in the Bank briefcase. She's got her own custom briefcase. So she brought that down to the ring with her tonight. Charlotte in the Bank. Now Charlotte Flair back one night. Already getting a women's championship match against Asuka in 3 weeks in London at the O2. Not at Money in the Bank, but on SmackDown the night before Money in the Bank. And that does not sit well with Bianca Belair, who right before this was promised a championship match by Adam Pearce, which creates a little bit of drama right there. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the four Money in the Bank qualifying matches as well. That we had on this show here tonight. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review for June 9th, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. And also, this is pretty cool. I wanted to just make mention of this here, that coming up this Tuesday is going to mark the 30th anniversary of my favorite pay-per-view of all time. It is the 1993 King of the Ring. And we are going to, and it's been a while since I've done a watch-along here on the channel. But we are going to be doing another classic watch-along, not of the entire pay-per-view. We're doing a watch-along of all three Bret Hart matches in the King of the Ring tournament, which really was built around him. So the first, second, and third round matches, plus the post-match coronation, where he and Jerry Lawler kicked off their big feud. 30th anniversary of the King of the Ring 1993, this Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. It will be open to everybody, but it will be members only in the chat. Well, if you want to hang out and interact live, you got to be a channel member. King of the Ring, I love that pay-per-view. Love that pay-per-view. After recapping the entire Bloodline drama from last week, with the Roman Reigns championship celebration and everything that happened at the end with Jimmy Uso being attacked, the recipient of a Samoan spike by Solo Sikoa. They did not waste any time here tonight, opening with Solo and Paul Heyman in the ring already, no entrance or anything. As Heyman was about to introduce himself, he was cut off by the Usos' music, and Jey Uso, by himself, made his way down to the ring. Jey was visibly upset after the events of last Friday, and he told Solo stabbing their brother in the back is something that they don't do, and he wasn't sure he'd be able to forgive him for that. So say what you want to say. And Paul Heyman told him that, look, you got all this wrong. You got all this twisted. By the way, on that note, let me pause here for a second. I mentioned Twisted, and I just thought of this. I know that Samoa Joe is playing, what's the name of the character he's playing in Twisted Metal? They're doing a television adaptation of Twisted Metal. I saw the trailer for his character. He looks like a psychotic clown. They have a trailer for his character, and you could tell, because he's wearing a mask, a clown mask, but you could tell it's Samoa Joe. but they're using a different voice. I thought they were using Samoa Joe's voice. Sweet Tooth, right. That's the character of Sweet Tooth. And Samoa Joe has a voice. I mean, this guy, he's not low-key, but he could be a fucking voice actor if he wants to be. And they're using a totally different voice. So nobody's even going to know that it's Samoa Joe playing this part. I don't know. I was disappointed when I saw that. The show looks kind of interesting, but I'm like, why are they using somebody else's voice? Was that something that was known this entire time? I don't know. But anyway, Heyman says, look, you got this all wrong. It's not Solo's fault. It's not my fault. It's not Roman's fault. It's not your fault. Said it's Jimmy's fault. Because Jimmy made up his own mind, and not just for himself, but he made up his mind for you as well. So he was explaining to Jay that when Jimmy did what he did at Night of Champions and he kicked Roman in the face, he didn't tell you about it, right? He didn't ask you about it. He didn't consult you about it. He just went and did it, right, without telling you. And he said the reason he's doing this is because he's the older brother. He was the firstborn, and he resents you. He says that Jimmy has always resented Jay because he is in on the fact that Roman Reigns has always wanted to recruit Jay to be the next tribal chief. That's your future. That's your destiny. It was never going to be Jimmy, and he knows that since day one, and he has resented you for it ever since. So this prick over here is trying to drive a wedge between these two brothers, making up random shit. He is trying to break up the family. Heyman said that tonight he's going to prove the truth to him. He's going to make a match for tonight where Jay brings gold back to the bloodline. He goes, and it's not tag team title gold. It is not the tag team championships because there is no more tag team known as the Usos. Instead, it's going to be Jay Uso against Austin Theory for the United States Championship. He said Jay's path to becoming the heavyweight champion starts tonight, and then the tribal chief will embrace him and will publicly groom him that someday, when the time is right, Jay Uso, you will become the tribal chief. And Heyman said that he needed Jay's answer right now. Jay told him that he would take him up on that U.S. challenge. Heyman smiled and put his hand out, and Jay was hesitant to shake it. Took about 20 or 30 seconds, thought about it, and he told Heyman, I'm going to get back to you on that. All I could think sitting here was Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's all I kept thinking here. It's a trap. So they tap dance around Jay's answer. I mean, you knew they were opening the show with this segment, but they weren't going to just blow the whole story in seg one. I mean, if they were going to give us an answer, which I didn't think they were, it would be the last segment of the show, not the opening segment of the show. So they tap danced around it, but it gave us a nice show-long storyline. And I was looking forward to the match, if only because it's a fresh match that we haven't seen before. We haven't seen Jey Uso against Austin Theory. So this was a good opening segment. Again, this Jey Uso stuff was the best part of the entire show. We had our first of four Money in the Bank qualifying matches tonight with Santos Escobar one-on-one with free agent Mustafa Ali. LA Knight came out before the match could begin. LA Knight's music hit. He got quite the reaction here. I don't know where they were tonight, but wherever they were, these people liked LA Knight. That seems to be a recurring theme in every city they go to, whether it's Jeddah or it's any city here in the U.S. So he got a very nice reaction on his way to the ring. That briefcase has got to be his. Has to be. Has to be his. So there was a spot early in this match where Escobar had Ali on the apron, and he charged at him, he jumped up, and he took him over with a Hurricane Rana. But on the way down, it sounded like Escobar smacked his head, maybe the top of his head, on the ring steps, because it made a noise like someone went into the steps, and the only thing that could have possibly got into the steps was Escobar's head. Rey Mysterio obviously was concerned, because he raced over to go check on him, and he seemed to be okay. He looked to be all right. So Ali and Escobar, they're fighting on the top rope as we come back from break. Ali flipped backwards. I don't know if he got shoved. I think he got shoved. But he flipped backwards all the way to the floor and landed on his feet. Escobar tried a double axe handle from the top to the floor, but he flew right into a drop kick that Ali timed perfectly. And Fox muted the audio Again, I think it depends on where you live. If you're watching here in the U.S. on Fox, I would imagine it happened to you too. Where they muted my audio here for a good 15 seconds. So, and that's a Fox thing. That's not a WWE thing. So I assume that there was a very loud holy shit chant is what I assume. Ali saw an opportunity. He headed up top for a 450 splash. Escobar, though, avoided it. He sent Ali face first into the middle turnbuckle when he came charging into the corner. Escobar hit a poison Rana, only got a near fall. Ali avoided a phantom driver and hit a diving tornado DDT for another near fall. Ali headed up top. Escobar climbed up with him, and he hit an avalanche phantom driver for the 1-2-3. So really good stuff from these two, and I thought Ali in particular, you know, taking nothing away from Escobar, I thought Ali looked really good. He was, you know, bumping his ass off in that match. That drop kick on the floor, perfectly timed. The entire LWO came out to celebrate with Escobar after the match. This was the most energetic, I guess you would say. This was the most lively that this crowd or any crowd has been for Escobar in a single situation on his own. He, you know, he's had other multi-man matches as part of the LWO, and the LWO gets a very good reaction from the crowd. But, you know, on his own, Escobar just has not yet gotten over at that level. This was the first time where it sounded to me like he did. You know, the crowd was very responsive, I thought, to him here in this match. And certainly for the first time since he got called up to the main roster. And that has everything to do with the LWO and that association with Rey Mysterio. It seems to be paying off for Escobar. I can't say that it's paying off for Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro because they're still just background players. It's kind of like, you know, what Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci are as part of Imperium. They're just kind of background noise. They lose a lot. It's not about them so much. It's about Gunther. It's kind of a similar situation here. You know, they round out the group nicely enough, and they're very talented, but they're just background noise. You know, they're not really in a position where they're doing much on the show. But for Escobar, it seems to be paying off. And, you know, for Zelina as well, it's a good spot for her to be in, so pairing him up and doing this whole LWO thing, plus the merch apparently that they're selling is crazy. So it's really been a very positive thing for them. But I'm just looking at the men so far who have qualified for this Money in the Bank match. There's no one who looks even plausible at this point. I think there's still two spots left to fill. And they're going to fill one on Raw Monday night. It's going to be Matt Riddle against Damian Priest, which honestly, that could go either way. It should be Damian Priest. It should be Damian Priest. You know, he lost to Bad Bunny at Backlash. He lost to Seth Rollins on Raw this week. He could really use that win. Whoever they fill those final spots with, though, I'm looking at the lineup so far. You got Ricochet in there. You got Shinsuke Nakamura in there. Please. LA Knight is the only one that even remotely makes sense so far for this briefcase. I mean, give me a break. Escobar, Nakamura, it doesn't matter, right? LA Knight is the one who should walk away with that briefcase. So we go to the back, and Jey Uso is backstage, pacing back and forth, getting ready for his main event later in the show. When he looks up, and who does he see? But he sees his old friend, Sami Zayn. Monday Night Raw's Sami Zayn, but at least he's one half of the Undisputed Tag Team Champions, which gives him the ability to float between shows. I mean, I'm talking about this like this shit even matters, but one half of the Undisputed Tag Team Champions. So Sami tells him that his time with the Bloodline, Sami's that is, was some of the best times of his life. He had so much fun hanging out with those guys and hanging out with Jimmy and Jay. You know, he remembers even when he was making Jay laugh when he wasn't supposed to. I'm thinking of that one segment in particular where as soon as he said the word Usi, that's it. Everybody lost it. Even Roman was struggling to keep it together during that segment. But I remember poor Jay. He had nowhere to go. I mean, he's standing in the middle of the ring. It's not like there's a wall behind him, you know? And this guy's putting his hand over his mouth. He's putting his face in his hands. He had nowhere to go. Fun times. Fun times with Sami Zayn as part of the Bloodline. But then he talked about Roman's manipulation. Says that he did everything he could, like Jay is doing. Sammy did everything in his power to try to keep the family together, but he constantly had to be pushed by Roman to test his loyalty, even against his own brother, even against Kevin Owens, which is exactly, he said, what Roman is doing to Jay now with Jimmy. It's the same exact thing. And he says, look, I sincerely hope that you win that title. I'm rooting for you to win that U.S. title tonight so the bloodline can see that they need you more than you need them. But just be aware of the consequences of that choice, because it means no more Usos, no more Jimmy and Jay. And he said, listen to your heart and not what's being put in your ear. And Jay looked conflicted and he walked off. So Sammy, again, he's putting things in his ear too, just like Paul Heyman is. It's a good thing he's got two ears, but ultimately Jay has to make his own decision, so he went off to think things over. So Kayla Braxton was in the ring after this, and she introduced the women's NXT tag team champions, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, down to the ring. They made their entrance to what sounded like crickets, were it not for the music playing in the background. And before they could say anything, Ronda Rousey's music hit. Here comes Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler with their women's tag team titles. Shayna had a question for them. How much do they know about the history of those NXT women's tag team titles? She says that she's the reason those titles were even created in the first place. She said, technically, those Shayna Baszler commemorative tag titles are mine. Ronda said that she's been crunching some numbers and they're running through people so fast they're going to be very hungry soon. She said, this division is not big enough for the both of us, these two teams, so they want their titles as well. And Alba and Isla said that, you want a unification match. So they said, we accept. And they attacked Ronda and Shayna and they both battled back and forth, and it ended with Alba and Isla fighting them off and knocking them out of the ring. You know, for what should have been such a big announcement here, talking about the unification of these two sets of women's tag team titles, the crowd was quite mild for this. Shouldn't be as a surprise. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise, I should say, to anybody, because why would anybody be excited about the women's tag team titles? You know? Why? What reason is there to be excited for these titles? So, what should have been a big announcement really wasn't. But here's my thoughts on this. Now, I've talked about this idea. Again, I pitched this idea, and I said the only thing that really didn't sit well with me is the idea of doing Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn this early into their run. They just made their debut. They've had, I think, one match on television so far. And you know exactly what the outcome of this match is going to be. So I'm not hot on the idea of feeding them to Ronda and Shayna. Now, I saw the match that Ronda and Shayna had with Katana Chance and Caden Carter on Monday. We talked about it on the Monday night stream. And I was very impressed. I was very impressed. Not surprised, because Caden and Katana are a very good team. But I was very impressed that they gave them a chance to shine the way they did, and Ronda and Shayna, you know, selling for them as much as they did on their first night in. And maybe they'll do the same for Alba and Isla. I was impressed by that match on Monday. But again, we know what the outcome is going to be. That being said, it's the right move to make. I may not be hot on the idea of them doing the job to Ronda this early in their run, but it had to happen. This had to happen. This unification had to happen. It's the right move to make. They don't need two sets of women's tag team titles on this main roster. They don't. So now you will have one set of women's tag team champions, undisputed women's tag team champions, and they can defend on any show. Not just Raw and SmackDown, but NXT also. They can defend anywhere. Let them show up. I mean, that's the Nick Khan move now, right? He's got main roster talent showing up on Tuesdays. We've seen Mustafa Ali recently. We've had Baron Corbin. We had Bron Breakker just challenge Seth Rollins to a match for the fucking World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins may be coming to the Performance Center. So that's my thoughts on the women's tag team titles. This was the correct move to make. WWE, I give them credit. They took steps tonight to correct the championship situation as far as the women's titles go. Now, that's the tag team titles. We're going to get to the other titles here in a little bit. At this point in the show, we had a very nice video package remembering the Iron Sheik. And I will have a lot more to say about the Sheik and his career and my memories of the Sheik and the Iron Sheik roast that I attended here in New York City many years ago, for which I still have video. I have video of MVP, who was one of the roasters on that show that I will not post online because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. He was in between stints with WWE at this point. But I was there, and it was a very entertaining night. But we'll talk more about the Sheik on Sunday. We got our second Money in the Bank qualifier of the night, this one with Bayley, one-on-one with Michin of the OC. AJ Styles sat in on commentary, so he played cheerleader for Michin. Hey, Andrew No Love, thank you for the super chat. Shayna Blazer. How many of you remember where that's from? It was from the draft. It was only a month ago. How many of you remember who made that comment? So the action spilled outside here in this match almost immediately. Bayley was mocking AJ until Michin did a dive, took her out on the floor. For the finish, Michin kicked Bayley until Bayley went out to the apron. And she grabbed Michin by her hair, ran her into the second turnbuckle, and Bayley then hit the rose plant and got the pin to qualify for the Women's Money in the Bank match. After the match was over, Scarlett appeared out of nowhere, walked right up to AJ Styles, and blew some type of red mist into AJ's face. This looked like a Kool-Aid mix. In fact, I'm sure it was Kool-Aid mix. It's just that fine powder. Blew it right into his face. Now he's blinded, and then behind him, in the crowd, on the other side of the barricade, is Karrion Kross. And Karrion Kross grabs AJ, got him in the cross jacket submission. And that is how the segment ended. Now, this match really, I mean, again, this was one of those two-minute matches on this show. It was a backdrop. It was a backdrop for the angle after the match with AJ and Karrion Kross. Kross has to get something going. We've talked a lot about Karrion Kross before, and honestly how disappointing this second run for him has been on the main roster. If you're a Karrion Kross fan, you should be disappointed. I don't see how anybody who's a fan of his or a fan of his character or his work can be happy with how things have gone for him on the main roster. So if you are a fan of his, you're hoping that AJ Styles can give him that little push, you know, can give him that little jolt that he needs. He had started something with Shinsuke Nakamura, and then they had the draft, and they drafted them to separate brands. So they had one match on TV, and that was the end of it. So next week on SmackDown, it's going to be a mixed tag. It's going to be AJ and Mia Yim taking on Karrion Kross and Scarlett. So Scarlett's actually getting in the ring for the first time, I think, on TV. Right? I mean, I can't remember. Have they done a mixed tag match already with her? I can't remember one if they have. So that's going to be taking place on the show next Friday. Sorry, I won't be here for that. Bianca Belair was in the back. She was shown not in a very good mood. And she was shown talking to Adam Pearce. Pearce asked her, please stay backstage. I know you're upset. We're having this ceremony in the ring with Asuka to present her with a new championship tonight. And I'm asking you, please stay in the back. And he promised her a shot at the title, that she would be next in line. She would get her rematch. And so hearing that, Bianca said, okay, I'll stay in the back. So up next, we had Adam Pearce. He was in the ring to present the brand new WWE Women's Championship to Asuka. The title was hidden in the ring under a cloth, as they usually do those title reveals. I feel like we've had a lot of this recently. So the title was hidden under a cloth in the ring as he invited Asuka to come on down. So let's talk about, it's a good news, bad news situation. Let's talk about the good news first. The good news is that they have finally changed the name of the title. So we no longer have the Raw Women's Championship on SmackDown and the SmackDown Women's Championship on Raw. That has yet to be fixed, but I am sure that that is coming. No more red and blue belts. I am sure that is the case. The title is a smaller version of the Roman Reigns logo belt. Now, this should have been expected, because once they unveiled the Roman Reigns belt, if they were going to change the women's belts, this is probably what it was going to look like. Again, very lazy. Even the fans in the crowd booed. They booed the belt. But here I was told it was only internet fans who hated on the belts. Maybe they piped in the boos. Because I know the people in this building sure didn't like it. But I will point out to you, as I have the image up on screen, for those listening on audio. On the belt, on the bottom, take a look at what it says. Women's Undisputed Champion. These are already up, by the way, for pre-order on WWE Shop if you've got $500 to spare. You can have your own Women's Undisputed title. But again, I look at this and I say, Undisputed Champion. I don't think they quite understand what the word undisputed means. But you know what? It is what it is. At this point, it is what it is. The more important thing is that they have finally rebranded the belts. Now, I say belts because if they did this for Asuka, then they have to do the same for Rhea Ripley. And I expect them to do the same. They didn't say anything in the Raw preview from Monday about doing like a championship ceremony for Rhea Ripley. My assumption is that we are going to get that announcement during the day, probably on social media on Monday, that there's going to be a similar segment with Rhea in the ring on Monday night, and we are going to get a brand new Raw Women's Championship that will probably be called the new WWE Women's World Heavyweight title, because if we have the WWE Championship on SmackDown, we will likely end up with the World Heavyweight title on Raw. What will this title end up looking like? Well, the title will probably end up looking like this. Shout out to Steve Mello for the mock-up, but this is, I'm sure, what the championship is going to end up looking like on Monday nights. A smaller version of Seth's big gold belt, but with a white strap instead of a black strap or a blue strap or a red strap. So we'll see. We'll see if I'm right, but I assume this is what this new championship is going to look like. And this I don't mind so much, actually, because, yeah, I mean, you got the logo in the middle. I mean, that's whatever. It's fine. It's not overwhelming, right? This actually looks like a championship. This I don't mind so much. I don't mind this so much. The other belt more so that I think is very lazy. We'll find out on Monday if that's the case. Would not make any sense to give Asuka a new belt but not give Rhea one. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because the belt that Rhea has is still the SmackDown Women's Championship. That has to change. But I said it was a good news, bad news situation. So that was the good news. The bad news is, you know, it's like Sonar. It's like Sonar. It's like she could detect it miles away. It's got that new belt scent, right? She can smell it. Charlotte Flair interrupted the segment. All hail the queen. She comes out. I mean, you had to know this was coming. Charlotte comes out. She was looking great. Charlotte was looking great. She was looking rested and refreshed from her extended vacation with Andrade, who, it just seems to me, absolutely does not want to be in AEW anymore, despite all the things publicly that he has said. I saw the reports recently that he had rejected some other kind of creative idea that was pitched for him. I think he posted something on Twitter, maybe kind of refuting that's not true. I don't know. I don't get the impression that he really wants to be there anymore. If it were up to him, he'd rather be back in WWE working with his wife. And maybe soon enough he will be, but Charlotte comes out, and she gets in the ring, and Adam Pearce, the first thing that Adam Pearce says to Charlotte is that you've got to get in line. That was funny. That may have been the funniest thing that I've heard on this show in a very long time. Who the fuck does he think he was standing in the ring with? Since when does Charlotte need to get in line? And Charlotte said as much. She said, no, I don't. She goes, I don't have to get in line. I am the line. I thought she was calling herself the opportunity, by the way. So now she's the opportunity. She's the line. How many other nicknames is she going to come up with? But she wasn't wrong. That's exactly how she's always been treated. That's exactly how she's always been booked. The line starts and stops with Charlotte Flair. The last time we saw her come back after she was gone for about 8 months, her very first night, she cashed in her Charlotte in the Bank. There it is. And she took the championship from Ronda Rousey, right? Thank fucking God, by the way. Not the person that I would have picked, but at least they got the belt off Ronda, right? So that was a step in the right direction. But just the idea, it's pure comedy at this point. Yes, we know how good she is. We know how accomplished she is. We know that she's the biggest star in the division. We understand that, right? She's already been a champion 13, 14 times, right? I've lost count. We know that. But after a while, it gets very tiresome and it gets ridiculous when she comes back in and on day one, if she isn't winning the championship, she's already coming in and saying, well, I want a title shot. And then poof, there it is. She gets a title shot. How many times have we seen this already? So there it is. That's why I coined the phrase all those many, many, many months ago, Charlotte in the Bank. She doesn't need to win Money in the Bank. I had one person tweeting me earlier saying Charlotte's going to win Money in the Bank because it's the one thing that she hasn't done. She's won the Royal Rumble. She's been women's champion before, but she's never won Money in the Bank. Why does she need to win Money in the Bank? She's got her own. There's no point. It would be a waste of a briefcase. She has all that she needs right there. So she says this, right? Despite what Adam Pearce just said, she basically says to Adam Pearce, fuck off. I am the line. You answer to me. I'm your boss. And she says to Asuka, look, no one has more respect for you, Asuka, than I do. But I want that championship, so I'm here to challenge you for the title. So there it is. There's the official cash-in. Asuka said something to her in Japanese, and then she accepted the challenge. Just like that. So then Asuka spat mist in her direction, but Charlotte was able to dodge it. She rammed Asuka headfirst down into the podium that the belt was on, and Asuka rolled out to the floor. Michael Cole, on commentary, said that Adam Pearce was beside himself because he had another problem now. He had already promised Bianca Belair a shot at that championship. And of course, as an authority figure here in this company, clearly this man is impotent. And I guess his hands are tied and he can do nothing. Just because Asuka said, I accept your challenge, apparently that's some sort of binding verbal contract that cannot be broken. Like it's ironclad and there's nothing Adam Pearce can do. My hands are tied. We have a verbal agreement on camera. There's nothing I can do to change it. So now he's got to figure out how he's going to navigate this situation because he already made a promise to Bianca Belair, which is not worth anything, evidently. So the match between Charlotte and Asuka is going to take place on SmackDown. It's not going to take place at Money in the Bank. It will be the night before Money in the Bank. They're going to be in the same building in London at the O2 Arena. So we'll have, you know, with that London crowd, we should have a pretty good atmosphere for that show. And that is where the championship match is going to take place. So this is interesting to me because I've been saying, you guys know that I've been talking about Bianca and Charlotte being a match for WrestleMania 40. And I still think that there's a very good chance that will be the match for that title, the SmackDown title, at WrestleMania 40. But it looks like they're going to be getting to it a lot sooner than WrestleMania. So if they wrestle next year, it won't be their first match. Because I don't see at this point how those two don't end up in the ring together in the next few months. You know, there's still a chance Bianca could even be added to this match. But let's say that doesn't happen. Bianca is going to play some sort of role or factor, I believe, in that match. I don't think that Charlotte is going to win the title from Asuka. Let me just say that first. Because I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, you know, Asuka, she's already going to lose her championship to Charlotte again, right? She's already lost to Charlotte before. She's going to lose her belt to Charlotte. I don't think that's going to happen. Not on SmackDown in 3 weeks. Now, is she going to beat Charlotte clean? Of course not. Absolutely not. You're brain dead if you think otherwise. Or maybe not brain dead, but don't be naive. But I don't think that Charlotte is going to win the championship. I think Bianca will likely play a role. Maybe she'll be doing commentary. Somebody will get shoved into her. I mean, we've seen that before. And we'll end up with a three-way feud here. And that could be the match for SummerSlam. It could be a triple threat match for the championship with Charlotte, Bianca, and Asuka. And here's the thing. I don't mind that match at all. I actually think that should be, if that's what they do, that should be a very good match. But again, it's just my issue with her coming in and staking her claim. And here's the thing. You don't have to listen to me say, oh, you know, this is bullshit and complaining about it. Charlotte herself. Charlotte is very self-aware of this stuff. She's done interviews and talked about the fact that I've had trouble in the past connecting with crowds, or the crowds turning against me because they feel I'm handed everything. Well, no fucking shit. Because you are. Your character is. You are handed things all the time. And she admitted that. And she says, you know, sometimes it could be, it's a creative issue and people can't relate to me because I come back after a long absence and I just get handed things. I don't have to work for it. That's why turning her babyface before was such a bewildering move. You know, it might work initially. But Charlotte Flair should not be a babyface. She's a natural born heel, like her father. Like father, like daughter. So, if that's the match for SummerSlam, great, but build to it. This is their way of building to it. She comes in on night one, I want a title shot. Okay, you got it. That's the problem with Charlotte Flair. It's always the same thing. Next time she goes away, yeah, she gets a hangnail, let's say. She leaves. She comes back 3 months later. We already know what that first promo is going to be. I want a title shot. Okay. It's like when she leaves, you know, the division, whoever's left to fend for the championship, it's almost like, just keep it warm for me. Just keep it warm. When I get back, I'll take it back. In the meantime, you can play with it. It's your play toy in the meantime. That's what it feels like. So anyway, that's where I think this is going. We'll probably get the three-way at SummerSlam. A little odd they're not doing this at Money in the Bank. But again, they'll still be in the same building, and you'll have a hot crowd in the UK. I'm sure that's going to be a fun atmosphere. Jey Uso was shown backstage, and Paul Heyman approached him saying, how you acted earlier in the ring, not shaking my hand. He goes, you know, that's a good cliffhanger there. I like a good cliffhanger. I hope for Paul's sake he's never hanging off the side of a cliff. I don't think that's going to end well for him. But Heyman said that he needed Jey's passport. I need your passport. We're all going to London. We're all going to Money in the Bank. And Heyman also said that Roman Reigns is going to be live on SmackDown next week. Heyman said that if Jey sticks around, he'll receive a public acknowledgement from Roman Reigns that Jey is next in line to be the tribal chief. Jey seemed excited about this. He said, but here's the thing. If I'm going to be in the bloodline, you're not. And he walked off. And Heyman had a stunned look on his face and pulled out his cell phone. We have Baron Corbin. Let me get her off the screen here. First night back, she's already, look at this, she's invading my screen. She's taking up 35% of my screen space here. I swear, this woman is everywhere. This woman is everywhere. Baron Corbin against Butch. In a Money in the Bank qualifying match. The NXT champion Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams were shown watching in the crowd before the match, since Hayes is currently feuding in NXT with Baron Corbin. For those of you who no longer watch NXT and gave up on it, I could see why. So like the Bayley and Meechan match, this was very quick. It really only served as a backdrop for what they did here with Corbin and Carmelo. Corbin grabbed a microphone before the match. He said that, I'm going to beat Butch and I'm going to win Money in the Bank again. And I swear to God, for a few seconds there, I had completely forgotten that Baron Corbin once won the Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't know if I tried to block it out of my mind or if it was just so uneventful that I have trouble remembering it. But then I remember the cash-in. And I say, well, how could I forget the worst Money in the Bank cash-in of all time, the most embarrassing Money in the Bank cash-in of all time? was Baron Corbin. So at least he has that claim to fame. So then he turned his attention to Carmelo Hayes. He spotted Carmelo in the crowd. And he called him a fan who should stay on that side of the barricade. See, this was a missed opportunity to tell Carmelo Hayes to go back to Ring of Honor. It's like, such a missed opportunity there. Butch landed a tornado DDT for two. He went for a moonsault. Corbin, though, moved and started pounding Butch, or pounding on. Started pounding on Butch. Butch came back with the finger spot, the joint manipulation. You know, I wrote this here. Pounding Butch. He did the finger spot. You know, I hope nobody ever sees these bullet points here. If anybody ever sees these notes, I don't know what they're going to think. It's After Dark with Solomonster. What can I say? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. So, yes, he's pounding Butch. He's pounding Butch. He's giving him the finger spot. Corbin responds with a stiff hit to take Butch down. Corbin was yelling at Carmelo Hayes, and he went for a choke slam. And I guess because of the joint manipulation stuff, he couldn't hold him up. Butch ended up rolling up Corbin for the win. After the match, Corbin went to ringside. He punched Carmelo. He jumped the barricade, and Hayes and Trick Williams, they had to be pulled apart from Corbin. Listen up here, because this week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You know, I use Netflix. Netflix has all different kinds of shows and movies to watch, depending on what part of the world you live in. Tens of thousands. But do you know that you're only getting access to a fraction of what they have to offer? Watching Netflix without ExpressVPN is like paying for a gym membership, but only being able to use the treadmill. You see people on the other side of the room doing dumbbell squats with free weights, but you can't because they're not available in your part of the room. That sounds pretty stupid, doesn't it? Here's how ExpressVPN can open up access to all of this other content. It lets you change your location online, so you get to control where Netflix thinks you're located. And with almost 100 different server locations, think of all the new shows you can suddenly gain access to. And it works with other streaming services too, not just Netflix. I've tried it myself many times. It works great. I've used ExpressVPN to watch Pulp Fiction on Netflix Canada and Jurassic World on Netflix in Hong Kong, and I have never stepped foot in Hong Kong a day in my life. I am sure it is very nice there, but I wouldn't know. I only traveled there from my living room, and you can too. Just open the ExpressVPN app, choose a location, tap one button to connect, and refresh the page to open up a whole new library of content. ExpressVPN offers fast speeds with zero buffering. It's compatible on all of your devices and has a neat little bonus. It encrypts your data so you can browse the web securely. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster. to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Look, if Butch would have lost this match to Baron Corbin, that would have been it. For whatever credibility Pete Dunne had left, that would have been it. It would have been over. For him to lose to Baron Corbin in the state that Corbin has been in, it just couldn't happen. Pete Dunne had to win this match. Butch had to win this match. So Butch did win, that's good. Now he gets to go home to the UK, and he gets to try to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. And you know that crowd in London is going to be hot for Pete Dunne, so that's going to be cool. Now, I talked about NXT and the emphasis on NXT. There's been a greater emphasis on main roster talent crossover in recent weeks with NXT. We've seen Mustafa Ali and Baron Corbin. Tonight we had the NXT champion in the crowd. I mentioned Bron Breakker challenging Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. That is not a coincidence that this is all happening at a time when WWE is entering into negotiations for a new television rights deal. That's not a coincidence. So if you're wondering why all of a sudden are they using main roster talent on Tuesdays and having NXT talent on Fridays and maybe Mondays, we'll see if Bron goes to Raw for the match or if Seth goes to NXT. That's why. They're trying to get the best deal they possibly can. And as much as they can give that Tuesday show a boost, they're going to do it. Because now, more than ever, it's very important for them to kind of put NXT, or try to put NXT, on par with the other two shows. What's funny to me about the whole thing is that what they had before in NXT, when they blew it up, was a brand that Triple H would often go on these media calls and talk about, oh, it's not developmental. We don't look at it that way anymore. Even though it really was never not developmental. I mean, there was always a developmental aspect to the show, right? It wasn't just the show filled with indie guys. It was mostly indie guys, but not entirely. But they blew it up. They blew it up and turned it into a developmental show because they felt like we have to make new stars. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make new stars. I still believe there was a way to get the best of both worlds. They chose to just blow it all up and start from scratch. Now, all of a sudden, Nick Khan wants to kind of go back to the way it was, where, you know, we want to have bigger names on NXT. Maybe it won't be the developmental show. He flat out said that recently. They're evaluating all of their options. Maybe NXT won't be the developmental show anymore. Really. So they want to go back to the old way. And who knows how many of those NXT fans they chased off. You know, certainly some of them, not all of them, but some of them. I always thought you can get the best of both worlds. You can still have a focus on the more experienced talent, but take a handful of guys and girls that don't have that experience. The Braun Breakers of the world, Carmelo. Well, Carmelo Hayes was working indies before that, but a guy like a Braun Breaker, for example, you still could have created a Braun Breaker under the old NXT model. You still could have done it. I mean, look who he was working with when he came in. He was working with Ciampa. But it's just funny to me how all of a sudden now they're having a kind of a change of heart. And they're at least considering the possibility of taking NXT and turning it into something that more resembles what it was before than what it's been over the past 2 years. You don't say. Good luck with that. So Butch was interviewed in the back. Said that he was going home to London to take that briefcase because every night the Brawling Brutes are back in the UK is fight night. Baron Corbin walked up and said that that was unfair and I think he wanted a do-over. Cameron Grimes showed up and punched him in the mouth and knocked Corbin down on the ground. Corbin the Geek. So, good for Cameron Grimes. We had Io Sky with Bayley in her corner against Shotzi in the fourth and final Money in the Bank qualifying match on this show. Shotzi hit a very Darby Allin-esque suicide dive on Io outside. Shotzi went to the top. Bayley distracted her with the referee turned away. Bayley pushed Shotzi off the top rope, and Io capitalized with a moonsault for the win. Not much else to say about this. It was a very brief match, and Bayley and Io are now both in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So we have an interesting story developing there. Obviously, they've been teasing a damage control breakup. Not so much in the last few weeks. It's almost like they've gotten away from it. But now, at Money in the Bank, it's going to come back in a big way. Because you know that if Io is on the cusp of bringing that briefcase down, that Bayley is not going to stand for it. There could very well be a spot where Io is at the top of the ladder. She's got the match won. Bayley sees this, and Bayley pushes the ladder over and costs Io the briefcase. And either somebody else wins it or Bayley herself. Because that's how I see this going. To me, again, without knowing the entire field, and there are more possibilities in the women's match than there are in the men's match, like a Zoe Stark, right? I could see Zoe winning the briefcase. I don't think she is, but I could see her winning the briefcase. To me, this match belongs to either Bayley or Io. If it were me, I like the idea of Io winning the briefcase. She doesn't need the briefcase to eventually, I think, get a championship match. But now that Charlotte is back, and we're going to probably be getting something with Charlotte and Bianca, maybe with Asuka in there, who knows? Io could be, you know, Io and everybody else could be the odd women out here. There is also the possibility we could get Charlotte and Bianca at SummerSlam and they could still do Asuka and Io if they don't do that three-way I mentioned. But it's either Io or Bayley. Bayley, I could also see with that briefcase. It would actually fit her character very well. She's got that obnoxious character. She goes around, she laughs in people's faces. She yells at Michael Cole. I could definitely picture Bayley for the next few months, at least, walking around with that briefcase. And maybe, again, they use that to drive a further wedge with the members of Damage Control, the members who are left. So that'll be the, probably that'll be the story to follow in the Women's Money in the Bank match this year. In the back, we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They were talking backstage. They were cut off by Pretty Deadly. And Pretty Deadly were mocking their appearance and what they were wearing. They were then interrupted by the Good Brothers. The Brawling Brutes came in. The Street Profits came in. The LWO came in. They all came in. Adam Pearce came in. What's the commotion? What's going on here? And Kevin Owens did his new gimmick where he flips out and starts yelling and talking really fast, and Sammy has to calm him down. So Adam Pearce announced a gauntlet match for SmackDown next week. The winners will then face Owens and Zayn for the Undisputed Tag Team titles after that. So then it was time for main event Jey Uso. Back in the main event tonight, one-on-one with Austin Theory for the United States Championship. This was Jey Uso's chance to win singles gold for the first time in his career. Theory for the finish here. Set up for the A-Town Down. Uso fought out. And hit Theory with an enziguri. Theory then in turn struck the referee, and the referee got bumped. Okay, so we got our ref bump. Jey Uso went to the top, he hit the Uso splash, and he got the visual pin. The problem is, visual pins don't win you championships, so there was no referee to count. Visual pins do not win titles. And according to Batista, neither do basketballs. Pretty Deadly. Their Theory's new running buddies, it seems. They came out from the crowd to attack Jey. That brought Jimmy Uso out. So Jimmy did show up on the show tonight. He ran to the ring to take out Pretty Deadly. Solo Sikoa showed up. He went to go lay out Jimmy with a Samoan spike. When Jey saw this, he reached over and stopped Solo in mid-motion. Solo then pushed Jey. Jimmy saw this. Jimmy got up. He went to deliver a super kick to Solo. Solo moved, and Jimmy super kicked his other brother. I was going to say his brother. I have to specify which brother I'm talking about. Jimmy accidentally super kicked Jey Uso. So then Jimmy and Solo, they end up brawling out of the ring to the floor. And Austin Theory, ever the opportunist that he is, sneaks back into the ring. He sneaks back into the situation here, and he covers Jey Uso, and he steals the pin, and he retains the United States Championship. Austin Theory just feels like a complete afterthought at this point, even though he's the champion. The guy's been a fucking afterthought ever since WrestleMania. It's actually quite shocking to see him go into WrestleMania against John Cena. He got the spot against John Cena this year at WrestleMania, and this has gone over about as well as Baron Corbin being the one to retire Kurt Angle. You would think that Baron Corbin being handpicked by Vince McMahon to retire Kurt Angle, his final match, that they would have something planned for Baron Corbin. I couldn't fucking tell you what it was. What did he do in the aftermath of WrestleMania 35? What the hell did they do with Baron Corbin? I don't remember. And you look at Corbin now, I mean, what a fucking waste. To waste Kurt Angle's last match on that. Theory goes in there at WrestleMania this year against John Cena. Wasn't a great match, but, you know, a win is a win. What have they done with him since then? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's in the main event on SmackDown tonight, and just total afterthought. It's amazing. So after the match is over, Jimmy tried to help Jey up, and Jey pushed him away. Jimmy tried... Oh, that's right. They made him broke. How could I forget? Was that the time period that they did that? I thought that came later on, but I think you're right. So that was their great follow-up plan for Baron Corbin coming out of WrestleMania that year. Now, it had to be later that year, though. We're talking 2019, right? So no. The broke-ass Corbin stuff had to come later on. Because I'm sure in the middle there was a mixed tag match where he and, might have been Lacey Evans, wrestled Seth and Becky. That's actually one of the better things I've seen Corbin do. He gave Becky the end of days, and then he looked over at Seth Rollins, and what did he say to Seth? He cussed him out or something? I think he cussed him out. That might have been the greatest thing that Corbin's done on the main roster in I don't even know how long, maybe at least 5 years. But yeah, after that, they made him bum-ass Corbin. But I'm pretty sure that came later on. In any event, my larger point stands. Jimmy tries to help Jay up. Jay pushes him away. And Jimmy tries to explain to him, I didn't mean to kick you. It was a mistake. Jay walked out of the ring. And he sees Paul Heyman is now there outside the ring with Solo Sikoa. Heyman apologized for things going down the way they did. And he kind of glanced up at Jimmy in the ring as if to say to Jay, You see what I told you? See what I told you about your brother resenting you? So Jay looked disgusted at everybody and basically said, fuck this, I'm out of here. And he walked off. Heyman then spoke to his cell phone and said, call Roman Reigns. And the best part of this was the fan in the crowd who said, his phone's not even on. Which it was. It didn't look like it was. It felt like this show ran short. I don't know if anybody else felt that way. But it felt like this show ran short on time and they were trying to stretch because this whole angle wraps up. And they replayed the entire thing. And then they, for the second time, they ran down the card for next week's show. So they definitely, I think, were running a little short trying to kill some time here at the end of the night. So we never did get our answer from Jey Uso about where he stands. Is he going to fall in line? Whose side is he on? We never got our answer from him. And we were not going to get our answer from him because we still have over 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, until Money in the Bank. I think it's about 3 weeks. So they have some time to kill here on this show. And as I said earlier, they're going to do what they did in the lead up to WrestleMania, where we all knew where it was going. We all knew that in the end, Kevin Owens was going to come around, and it was going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos. And they waited until, what was it, like 2 weeks maybe? 3 at the most, but I think it was about a couple of weeks before WrestleMania, before everything came together and they made it official. Because they're going to milk this Bloodline story for everything that it is worth. They did 3 million viewers for that final segment on SmackDown last week, for that Bloodline segment. The Bloodline to them right now is gold. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So they're going to try to get as much out of this as they possibly can, these segments. And it's an episodic television show. So I can't fault them for that. As long as they can keep it interesting and they can keep it compelling and everybody is still playing their part to perfection here, then I don't have an issue with it. Do we get the tag team match at Money in the Bank? I still think we do. There's always a chance that maybe Roman is not going to be on the card. Now, I thought Roman was being advertised for Money in the Bank and he'd be wrestling on that show. He's not going to be defending the title. But I would expect, now Roman's on the show next week, so we may get our answer then. Maybe Jay will give his answer. And we'll get a better sense of whether we're going to get the tag team match in London. I think we do. I think we get Roman and Solo against Jimmy and Jay on that show. And I still think the play for SummerSlam is Jey Uso challenging Roman Reigns. You know, we saw Jey Uso in the main event tonight. You heard the reaction from that crowd to Jey Uso. They were into this guy. They were into him big time. You have Paul Heyman saying, you're the heir apparent to the throne. You're the heir apparent to the tribal chief, right? That's going to be you one day. It all depends on the decision that you make. And when he breaks from Roman, whether it's next week or after Money in the Bank, whenever it may be, he's going to be in that pole position to challenge Roman for the championship. I think that's your SummerSlam main event. I still feel that way after tonight. Now, I want to mention this here. There's no SmackDown review next Friday, which is too bad because I know Roman is back on that show. So I'm sure we'll get another big Bloodline segment, but that's the night of the House of Glory show. So there will be no SmackDown review. But it's going to be a busy week next week. Raw Monday has Matt Riddle and Damian Priest in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be wrestling Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. And Cody Rhodes goes one-on-one with The Miz. I'm sure you're all excited about that match. On Tuesday, as I mentioned earlier, Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, live on YouTube, we're going to be doing a special King of the Ring 1993 30th Anniversary Watch-Along. This is not the entire pay-per-view. This is not the entire tournament. These are all three Bret Hart matches. Against Razor Ramon, against Mr. Perfect, and against Bam Bam Bigelow. And, of course, I'm going to be talking about the entire event. I'm going to give you the whole backstory. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share some things that you may not even know. Because this is one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. So that'll be on Tuesday afternoon. And then I'm going to be live again with you on Wednesday night for the Dynamite stream. And then next Saturday is the debut episode of AEW Collision on TNT. And they have the main event of CM Punk and FTR taking on Samoa Joe, Jay White, and Juice Robinson. I will be live on YouTube next Saturday night covering that first episode of Collision. So even though we're not going to be doing the Friday stream, there's going to be a lot going on next week. And I hope that you will join me for that. Twitter poll time, 71%. Wow, 71% thumbs up for this show. That's higher than I would have expected. Higher than I would have. See, I think that's got to be entirely for that Bloodline storyline. 30% roughly thumbs down. 29.3% thumbs down. So, at Solomonster, go vote. Go vote. Winston says, you spoil us. You spoil me, I spoil you. That's how this works. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Right, we got to look out for each other. That's what we got to do. All right, let's get to your super chats. Thank you to everybody who has dropped a lot of love so far on me here tonight. Again, the goal for Be the Booker was 350. So we have shattered the goal. We will be doing Be the Booker a little bit later on as well. I know you're all very excited for it. Saturday night Solomonster. Well, look, you're going to get Saturday night Solomonster at least for that first week. You're not getting him the second week because I ain't going to be here. After that, we'll figure it out. I make no promises about that being a weekly occurrence. Even Solomonster needs a break every now and then. Solomonster has a show on Sunday to prepare for on Saturday night, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. The real CS02 was first on the night with the 1999. Hey Solo, with Collision debuting in a few weeks. Next week. Says, I noticed that they will be competing with WWE and their pay-per-views. My question is, do you see this as a potential problem with AEW and the ratings for the show? I mean, on those weeks, it'll be a problem. It's only going to be once a month. The real problem is going to be with sports. I mean, they're going to be preempted a whole bunch of times. I mean, it may not be as bad as Rampage getting bounced around every week for like 8 weeks, but I'd be way more concerned about the sports preemptions than I would the WWE pay-per-views. Steve wants to know who should dethrone Gunther. I still say Sheamus, but I know it's not going to be him, probably, because they're on separate brands. So I think Drew McIntyre, assuming he comes back. Drew McIntyre or Damian Priest? Damian Priest would be my dark horse pick, because I think he's probably headed for Splitsville with the Judgment Day and a babyface turn. I could see them putting that tie. I think they're very high on him. And I could see him. I could definitely see him being the one to beat Gunther for that Intercontinental title at some point. Hey, Max, thank you for the super chat. Max hanging out with us in the chat as well. I don't know if he's still with us, but I know he was there before. Shin with the $2. Thank you, Shin. Super kick Akuma. Brother Fluff Salisbury with the $5 super chat. Just curious. Is it true that there has never been a Hurricane Solomon because the forecasters know that it would destroy the entire world? That's what I think. I can't say that that's necessarily correct, but I think it would. I think it would wipe the world right off the map. Very powerful. Slim Yoshi with the $10. I'm surprised Charlotte didn't pull out the ladder, climbed it, and pulled down the briefcase and cashed in right there. But I guess she always has a Charlotte in the bank with her. It's always on her. It's like the president has the, what they call the football, right? Which I think has the nuclear codes. That's what Charlotte has. She's always got her Charlotte in the bank on her. You can't necessarily see it, but it's always there. Only she knows the password. Lakers Pats won first Black Adam bombs, and now Young Rock is canceled. Yeah. And he went back to the Fast franchise. I thought he was leaving that behind. He said he would never go back. Right? He had that fallout with Vin Diesel. So he went crawling back to the Fast franchise. I say crawling back. He's going to make a gazillion dollars for those movies, but I think Rock will be okay. I don't cry for The Rock. I think he'll be okay. DEH Sires, they are really pushing NXT as the third brand again, huh? Yeah, they sure are. Katie's First Lady. Katie First Lady 999, birthday girl here. I enjoyed SmackDown overall. Glad to see that they are making some changes with the titles. Charlotte returning with a surprise. Or was a surprise, I guess she means. Do we see a triple threat at Money in the Bank? No, we do not. I think we either see a triple threat at SummerSlam, or they do Asuka defending against somebody else, and we get a singles match between Charlotte and Bianca. I'm thinking triple threat is what I'm thinking. But it doesn't look like we're getting a women's title match on the SmackDown side of Money in the Bank. Maybe we'll get one on the Raw side. Yes, they canceled Young Rock. For those who did not hear the news, NBC canceled Young Rock. So Young Rock is done. Rob G, Best Podcast, Solo Monster, and Mike Francesa. Is Mike still doing a podcast? I wasn't sure if he was completely done or if he was doing a podcast or not. MLK with the $5. When Solo Sikoa breaks away from Roman, WWE should use elements from when Batista left Evolution in 2005. Thumbs down for Roman and the Samoan Spike. I think that would be cool. I mean, the whole thumb thing would make sense with Solo, so yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Why was there a problem with Rock and Vin anyway? I mean, there have been stories about Vin Diesel being very difficult to work with. In fact, I think didn't the director leave? Justin Lin or somebody like that supposedly left because he just couldn't take it anymore? I don't think that was a Rock issue. I think that was totally a Vin Diesel issue. You know, I've never read stories or heard about Rock being difficult to work with, being demanding on set or anything like that, but I've heard those things about Vin Diesel, so. But apparently they buried the hatchet because at the end of the day, they realize that there is a shitload of money to be made. So when you realize that there's millions upon millions upon millions, if not billions of dollars being left on the table with this franchise and Rock being involved, it's easy to put your differences aside. Master Gunner Axel with the $10 super chat. Did not get to watch tonight. How good was it? The Bloodline stuff was good. Everything else, not so much. Love the podcast. Have been listening since September 2015 when a clip showed up in my YouTube feed. It made the rest of my high school days great. Well, that's awesome. I'm very happy to hear that. So where are you now? 2015, right? So now... Well, you're out of college now, right? Probably fully grown kids, long beard. Dan Richards. I am the undisputed top super chatter. Well, for tonight, I don't think you're undisputed. I think you're tied. No, actually, you're not. You were trumped by Fahad. What am I saying? Fahad is the undisputed super chatter for tonight so far. Road Warrior Roderick, is WWE finally getting it right? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Nothing is worse than Tony Khan booking Orange Cassidy like he is unbeatable. Well, WWE is getting it right with the with what they did with the women's titles, yes. If that's what you're talking about. Rodimus Prime with the 10 spot. What male or female wrestler can you think of, past or present, and say failed potential? I mean, the first name that popped in my head is Tessa Blanchard, since I was just finishing up Dark Side of the Ring and, you know, thinking about Magnum TA, and Magnum is her stepfather. So I had her on the brain. So Tessa Blanchard, I would say, is an example of wasted potential. Velveteen Dream is another recent example of wasted potential. Teddy Hart is another example of wasted potential. There's three of them right there. Paul Hamilton with that $100 bomb. Do you think eventually, when Io Sky challenges for the women's title, Triple H will ever have Poppy perform her entrance? I hope he does. I hope he does. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a Poppy appearance. Ever since they blew up NXT, it's like Poppy has been banished from the Performance Center. So if they can't get her down there, then get her on the main roster. I think they should. Arabian Knight 2000. Io and Knight, LA Knight, should win Money in the Bank, but I don't think WWE will have two winners from the same brand. It's never happened before. If you could pick one, who needs it more? LA Knight. LA Knight. You hear the crowd reactions every single week. He's not going to win the championship right now because it's not his time, right? The Bloodline story is still strong. It's still ongoing. So he's not winning the title. He's not even going to sniff the title probably anytime soon. I, you know, him winning the briefcase, at least, it gives him something to carry around, to hang over the head of the champion. It keeps him on television. It keeps him in the conversation. Gives him something to gloat about. Io Sky can always get a championship match without the briefcase. LA Knight? I don't know. I mean, his booking for a while there was very suspect. At least now he's getting consistent television time every week, and every time he does, I just think to myself, boy, I hope Triple H is listening. Road Warrior Roderick. A $10 super chat. I thought it was the other way around. I thought he was doing the voice. Someone else was doing the acting. It wasn't until I saw the trailer that I figured it out. Well, I saw somebody before mention that I guess the voice of the character that he plays is the voice of, the person who voices the character in the video game. So, I mean, I guess that would make sense, but it's still a disappointment. I thought that it was going to be his voice. Jeremy Watley, 4 live streams a week now. Solo out here grinding. Well, TBD. We'll see about that. JS Warrior 19 with a 1999. Salamonster, I was listening to 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff today. They were talking about belts at WWE by saying the belt design doesn't matter. It is a prop. Because the brand of WWE is bigger than the title. What are your thoughts? It's exactly the kind of answer I would expect Eric Bischoff to give. I mean, what else is there to say? Does it matter in the grand scheme of things? No. Does it mean that we can't comment on how fucking lazy they are? No. No, they are. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to comment on that. But, yes, of course, WWE is not going to lose money because the belts don't look as nice as they used to look. Because they're going to turn them around and they're going to sell them. They already have the new one tonight. We just saw it for the first time. It's already up on WWE Shop. It's not shipping until October. But you can buy it for $500 right now. So it's not going to stop them from marketing their belts and selling them and selling their giant logo belts. But I can also sit here and say that it's fucking lazy. You know, people would talk about the 10 pounds of gold of the NWA, and they would talk about big gold from back in the day, or you know, you know, the Winged Eagle or whatever. With me, you know, when I was a younger fan, and even now as an older fan, you know, when I look and I'm watching on television, I'm seeing these people, you know, fighting for these championships. Are they props on a television show? Yes, they are. In a way, that's what they are, right? They're props on a television show with people playing characters on TV. But I want to be able to look at a belt and say, wow, that's a gorgeous looking belt. That's the kind of belt that I would fight for if I was on the roster. I would say, man, I want that. You know? There were belts when I was younger that I would look at and I would say, I don't care about that. But yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is WWE going to lose any money off of it? No, they don't care. They don't care. They'll make money off their logo belts, and there's just no creativity involved. A lot of very talented belt makers out there who can create really cool-looking championship belts that would sell just as well. And they just don't seem too interested in putting any effort into it. Arabian Nights could see Priest winning Money in the Bank, causing jealousy in the Judgment Day. I think Damian Priest is going to beat Matt Riddle on Monday, and I think he would definitely have a chance. Not my pick to win, but I don't think that he necessarily needs to win Money in the Bank to cause jealousy in the Judgment Day. I think that split may be coming soon enough. Hey, Fire Panda, I am doing very well. I know today was a tough day for you. I remember what you mentioned the other night, so I'm sure it was a shitty day for you, but hopefully the worst of it is over and better times are ahead. I know Fire Panda had to put down her pooch. Better days are ahead. Prime time. $50 Super Chat Bomb. That's the Gunthar Bomb from earlier. Primetime says, for some reason, I can't activate the Bully the Clown Super Chat. Huh. That's strange. Shouldn't have any issue with that. It should be between 30 and 35. Anyway, he says, all hail Gunthar. Also, my membership renewed automatically, which was a pleasant surprise. Thank you, Solid Monster GWO, for life. Very happy to have you part of our little green family, Primetime. Thank you very much. That's right. Steve with the Gunthar emoji. Yeah, the Bully the Clown should be the $30 one. And it should be working normally. I didn't change anything on that end, so it should be working okay. Chris AXC, what are your memories of Muhammad Hassan? I recall him having nuclear heat, and because of unfortunate timing, his career was crushed. What was his ceiling? There was talk about putting the WWE Championship on it at the time. And I think Bruce Pritchard has talked about this before. You know, with that gimmick, had they not cut it off when they did, could he have been champion? Yeah, he could have had a short run with the title, I think. Absolutely. I think it would have been an Iron Sheik type situation. Maybe he would have had it for more than a month, like Sheik did. But it's one of those gimmicks that only is going to have a shelf life of so long. That coupled with the fact that he just wasn't very experienced. He was very young. He was very green. And I don't think he would have been ready for that spot. So had they put the title on him because he had so much heat, it would have been short-lived. Beyond that, it's hard to say because, again, he was so early into his career. You know, he looked great. He looked like $1 million. I think he could have gone on to have a nice career for himself and could have been maybe also like a U.S. champion, intercontinental champion. But it's hard to say how far he could have gone because he didn't go very far to start with. So how can I sit here and say that, man, he was so talented, he would have been a champion for years to come? I have no idea. And I think it's that unknown that we just don't know. And it's funny, you know, I can compare that to the Magnum TA situation, which I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. Magnum TA is somebody who had already been established as a white-hot babyface star. So you say, well, what if with someone like him, he would have been the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. But there's still question as to how long would he have been on top? How many runs would he have had as the NWA Champion? Would he have gone on to work for WWE? Right? People said that about Bruiser Brody. Would Bruiser eventually have gone to work for Vince McMahon? Would he have had a program with Hulk Hogan? Maybe. We'll never know. But with somebody like Magnum, he was already a proven commodity. Muhammad Hassan was not a proven commodity. He was a gimmick that got heat. But beyond that, we really don't know what his ceiling could be. Fahad with that $120 super chat. Where do you think Roman goes after his feud with the Usos? Assuming the plan is to face Cody at WrestleMania, I don't think they can drag out the Bloodline story until then. Well, you don't, do you? They're very good at that. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that at all. I think they could definitely drag the Bloodline story out in different ways between now and then. Hey, Rock versus Sting. Thank you, brother. He is a Sound of Legend. Legend tier member here on the channel. But, I mean, Fahad, as far as what else would Roman do, I think if they do stretch the story out to a point where, okay, we can't go any more with this, you have people on SmackDown like Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles who now is not the time to be programming them with Roman. But late in the year or for a Royal Rumble championship match next year, if he's still the champion, which at this point I'm sure Roman's going to be the champion. Maybe that's when we get Roman and AJ and Roman and Bobby as a buffer between, you know, now and whatever he's going to be doing at WrestleMania next year, possibly Cody. So, because there's at least those two are big names that he now shares a roster spot with on Fridays that were not on the same brand with him before and have not faced him during this run. You know, those title matches that Roman and AJ had, Roman was still the big dog and AJ had first come into the company. That was a long time ago. I'd like to see them do it at some point. So that may be your answer right there. He beats AJ, he beats Bobby, gets to WrestleMania, probably wins again, goes to WrestleMania 41, wins again, goes to WrestleMania 42, wins again. They're going to give us, they're going to give the fans blue balls here with this whole Roman Reigns run, waiting for him to drop that championship. Andrew No Love, 13, WWE loves two things currently, breaking records and world the word undisputed champion. Yeah, that seems to be their new thing now. Everything is undisputed. No matter how many of them you have on your show or on your in your company, it's undisputed. Undisputed. It's amazing. Daniel Tucker, thank you for the $50 again. I appreciate that very, very much. Oh, I cannot wait for the solo turn. I think the guy can have a great run as an anti-hero babyface. Talking about Solo Sikoa. I think when the turn happens, yeah, the people are going to go nuts for him. James Fishwick Guitar UK. $12 super chat. Solo, it's 4 a.m. here in the UK. I've been on a stag. What that means. Still found a way to catch the live stream. Thank you, brother. You've helped more than you know. Been watching since 2011. James, very, very early where you are. I appreciate you tuning in. That's you're a stronger man than I am. I don't know if he meant stage or if that could be a UK word, stag. Maybe it's referring to something completely different. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm so confused. Ray Wrighton. Stag Do is a bachelor party. See, I have no idea. Was I supposed to know that? I had no idea. Okay, so apparently he's at a bachelor party, which would explain why he is up at 4 a.m. Now it makes sense. Now it all makes sense. All right. Were you the bachelor, though? That's my question. Or was it one of your friends? Ray, who I'm sure was just delighted with my little Charlotte Flair rant earlier. But you can't deny that I'm not making sense with what I'm saying. Even Charlotte agrees with a lot of the points that I have made when it comes to the booking. But I know Ray is very happy tonight. She's the biggest Charlotte Flair fan I know. Says, woo! See you at Hog next Friday. Ray is on, she'll probably give the show a 10 out of 10 tonight, just for that alone. Solo takes precedence over a bachelor party. See, that's a man that has his priorities straight. He's already had all the fun that he's going to have. And now it's time for the solo monster. See, so he gets the best of both worlds. He's pulling an all-nighter, by the way. He's not, at this point, it doesn't make any sense to go to sleep. Just stay up. You can crash during the day. DEH Sires for Women's Money in the Bank. Bayley and Io are going to be on top of a ladder, leading to Io winning and then facing Bayley at SummerSlam. And then later that night, she cashes in and wins. So there you go. There's a prediction from DEH. He thinks that there will be an Io cash-in at SummerSlam. Zachariah with the 1999. Well, damn. Thought they were renaming the women's titles, but not to the WWE Women's Undisputed Champion. I am just not going to get used to that term, undisputed, but with two world champions, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Stay safe out there. Heard about the smoky air quality. Well, the air quality is much better today. Now the air quality, the only thing we're breathing in now is just the usual exhaust fumes from all the fucking buses and trucks that drive around. So it's the usual stinky air, but at least it's not the orange Canadian air that's been blown out to sea. So we're good. DEH says, as of now, what has been your favorite Bloodline segment? I think my favorite Bloodline segment has got to be the night that they made Sammy the Honorary Oos. The one where he cracked up the entire Bloodline is pretty high up on the list. And then I would also put in there the Royal Rumble finish, where Sammy took the chair to the back of Roman's... To the back of Roman's back. He took it to Roman's back, yeah. So... there you go. I just gave you three of them. I just gave you three Bloodline segments. It also says they are not getting rid of the women's tag team title, especially since they just signed the Cavender Twins and NXT Women probably getting a mid-card title. I never said they're getting rid of the tag team titles. I said merge them and then they can be defended across all three brands, which is apparently what they're doing. That is the correct way to go. Alex Silva, with pretty much Roman facing his cousins the whole summer and into the fall, you see it, two matches with Jay, one with Jimmy, and saving Solo for the Royal Rumble. So see, that goes back to, who was it before that? Was it Fahad? It might have been Fahad, who doesn't think they can stretch this out between now and WrestleMania. You're underestimating their ability to stretch the story out. The way that Alex laid it out, I could see that, yeah. I think they saved the Solo match for much later. They do at least Jay, if not Jay and Jimmy in the meantime. You can get a couple of matches out of Roman and Jay. Do one match, then do maybe a stipulation match. So yeah, I could definitely see that. And so you know, as far as Survivor Series goes, assuming they're done with this Raw and SmackDown bullshit like they didn't do last year, we'll get War Games, and that'll be interesting. Will there even be much of a bloodline left? Would they be able to do bloodline in War Games? They may not have enough guys. What's War Games going to look like this year if Triple H brings back War Games? You know, he didn't say for sure they're going to bring back War Games, but I'd be surprised if he didn't bring it back. Context 2023. Do you see Jungle Boy turning on Hook? I hope so. I think he's due for a heel turn, so I would do it. Road Warrior Roderick. Pounding Butch like Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. The ball gag and everything. Yeah, that's not a vision I'm looking for. Arabian Knight. Term next tribal chief being mentioned. Could you see Jacob Fatu debuting at SummerSlam, costing Jay and linking with Roman and Solo as his right hand and new bloodline? I don't see that happening, but I would love to see him become part of this. Boy, you know, you want to talk about injecting new life into the bloodline story at some point, just when you think the story has run out of steam and you've done everything you could do, they bring in Jacob Fatu. And the only question is, what role is he in? Does he replace Roman? Do you hold him out until Roman finally loses and it's like Shawn Michaels losing at WrestleMania 14, going away, and Triple H takes over DX? Do you do that? Or, does he join and kind of take the Solo Sikoa spot when Solo breaks with Roman? But I would love to see Jacob Fatu debut in a spot like that, but it's not happening at SummerSlam. At some point, people are going to get tired of seeing the bloodline, just so you know. I mean, there's things you could do, but at some point, it's like, all right, how many years of this are we gonna do? But I would love to see him in a prime position like that. Brandon Vasquez, if LA Knight wins Money in the Bank, what title should he go after, and how would you book his cash in? I pitched an idea about a week or two ago, as far as doing Roman and Jay at SummerSlam. If LA Knight wins Money in the Bank, Jay Uso wins the championship, right? He has finished his own story in an amazing way. The bloodline story started with him, it ended with him, even though it probably wouldn't be officially ended. But he would win the championship, he would have his moment, and then LA Knight would cash it and win the title from Jey Uso and ruin his moment. And Jay could still go on to do whatever he's going to do with Roman. The bloodline story could still continue even after Roman drops the title. Selfishly, that's what I would like to see. Get that title on LA Knight. LA Knight is not getting any younger. LA Knight is not some blue chip prospect 30-year-old guy. So, you know, the clock is ticking here. So I would like to see him holding gold sooner rather than later and not delaying it for another year or another 2 years. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that Roman is probably not losing that title at least until WrestleMania 40. But if you really wanted to throw people a curveball, Jey Uso is the one to take the title from him at SummerSlam. But then LA Knight, man, he gets in there and he fucks up Jay's dream. Takes it right away from him. There's a story for you. James Hollins. I see on Twitter some Knicks fans are taking New York's new sky color as a positive omen for the next Knicks season. Orange and blue skies. I think it's going to take a lot more than orange skies to bring a championship back to New York. Whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball. Don't get me started on that game last night. MH Novus is peace. Thoughts on the Zion Williamson porn star drama. I'm way out of the loop here. I've been following other news. I am not aware of the Zion Williamson situation. I have absolutely no idea what that story is about. So I have not been following it. I cannot comment on it. Why was LA Knight not in WWE 10 years ago? I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hey, Dan, thank you for the super chat. Why was LA Knight not in WWE 10 years ago? LA Knight was in a promotion called Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And he was actually managed by Percy Pringle and Paul Bearer. And that was the last person that Percy ever managed was actually LA Knight. He was going by his real name of Sean Ricker at the time. So I don't know if that was 10 years ago or it might have been maybe a little bit longer than that, because when did Paul Bearer die? The Undertaker CM Punk match was at WrestleMania 29, right? So that was 2013. And so it would have been early 20. So yeah, it would have been 10 years ago, I think. I think 10 years ago is when he passed away. So, yeah, I guess he probably would have been in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood around then. And then not long after that, he ended up in Impact. And then the NWA. And then finally NXT. So that's where he would have been. BW says, Alex Shelley won the Impact World title tonight. Well, congrats to Alex Shelley. We just had him in for the last Hog Show. We had the Motor City Machine Guns in, and they had a fucking banger of a match with a main event. So, congrats to him. Wasn't LA Knight in WWE before he went to TNA? Yes, he was. You are correct. But he was in developmental. He never appeared in NXT. He was going by the name Slate Randall, was the name he gave him. And I think the knock on him was there was some social media drama, the way he was conducting himself on social media, and they fired him. They got rid of him, which was wild at the time because, you know, even then he had a lot of potential, and then he was gone. So, and I don't remember exactly what the controversy was. I know it had something to do with social media and them not liking, I don't know, just maybe in general, the things he was posting. It was something like that. So, yes, you are correct. But he got let go. Alex Silva, $4.99. When Roman does eventually lose the bloodline, how do you see him winning matches until 40? I can see Roman almost losing a couple of times before WrestleMania 40. You know, he may not... Who's to say he completely loses the bloodline before then? I mean, it seems unlikely now that Jimmy has basically been kicked out. Jay's probably going to side with his brother. How long is Solo going to hold on for? Are they going to bring in another new member of the bloodline if the Usos are you know, kicked out or if they leave? I don't know. I always looked at it as, you know, when he loses Solo, you know, after seeing what they did at WrestleMania, they didn't pull the trigger on Cody. It's like, all right, well, where does this go? And I've been saying when he loses Solo, he's on his own. That's it. And if the goal is for him to drop the belt at WrestleMania next year, it would make sense for him to lose Solo around that time. It's a long ways off. So the onus is on them to keep this story interesting enough. Can they go that long before they pull the trigger on the split, where they have Solo walk away from Roman? You know, they're going to have to put the work in to really keep the story interesting enough if they want to drag this thing out until WrestleMania next year. But that's when I think he loses the title. Only when he loses Solo and he's truly alone, and now he's vulnerable. It's like his, no pun intended, but his shield is now gone, and then he loses the championship. Bobby's World. I know how much you love Mount Rushmore questions. Oh, yeah. My favorite. So here's another one for you. Should be easy, though. WWE ring announcers. Well, I mean, come on. We know who the number one face is on that mountain, right? Howard Finkel. I'd put Howard Finkel in probably the fucking... at least half the spots on Mount Rushmore. Howard Finkel... I, you know, honestly, I don't have a number two in WWE. Lillian Garcia had a great voice. I love Samantha Irvin Wright. You know what? Honestly, Justin Roberts was also very good. Justin Roberts was very good. Tony Chimmel had his own very distinct voice. Howard Finkel is a shoo-in. Samantha Irvin, if she isn't on there already, she's earning her spot for me. She's fantastic. In fact, I'll put her on there right now. I think Samantha Irvin is on my Mount Rushmore of WWE ring announcers. She's that fucking good. She's incredible. So Howard is on there. I think Samantha deserves a spot on there. Justin Roberts, I think, belongs on there. Do I put Schimmel on there? Probably. Yeah. I might go Finkel, Schimmel. And again, just in terms of like chronological order. Finkel, Schimmel, Justin, and Samantha. That's probably the way I would. Oh, we've got Bobby's World again. I knew the Fink would be on there. LOL. How could he not be? Look at this. Even before I answered, he knew. Was I that predictable? I mean, everybody should put the Fink on there. I mean, it wouldn't just be me. Fink is like the gold standard. I mean, come on. NWA, you had Gary Michael Capetta. You just hear that voice, right? Your distinctive voice. You would probably... he was only brought in for special matches, but, you know, he was doing ring announcing or ring introductions even in the early 90s. I think some people remember Michael Buffer only being brought in for, like, the Monday Night War period, but they brought him in years before that for, like, big matches. And... you know, very few people knew how to call a big match, do the big match intros better than Michael Buffer. So, if he did a separate one, probably for WCW or Crockett and all that, I think you'd have to put those two right there would be on there. Boots, congrats to Shelley and Sabin, both winning titles tonight. Juan Ocampo, Charlotte in the Bank equals lazy booking. Yes, indeed. Omando Bastian with the $10 super chat. Has there ever been a point for a feud since Charlotte debuted on the main roster where she was not in the title picture? Hard to believe every feud has been for the title. It is getting so old and tiring. Has there ever been a feud that was not... I'm sure there was, but... I'm drawing a blank. She feuded with Sasha, or had, you know, some matches with Sasha. I think they were always for the championship. Same thing with Becky. Same thing with Bayley. She only had a couple of matches on TV with Bianca. They never had a proper program. And I know at least one of those matches was... for a championship. I think it was for the Raw Women's title. With Asuka, it was for a title. With Ronda, it was always for the title. With Alexa Bliss, right? Alexa Bliss, it was also for the title, I believe, right? Well, Bliss fan. Bliss fan will be my point of reference on it. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think you're right. I think everything is pretty much meant for the championship. Lacey. Oh, wait, maybe Lacey. Lacey wasn't, right? But then Lacey, the thing ended because Lacey got pregnant. She got that mist from Asuka, that pregnancy mist. You know, I heard that Billie Kay of the Iconics is now pregnant. She is expecting her first child in December, so congrats to her. First thing I thought of, when was the last time she worked with Asuka? It's been a few years. Hey, you know, if Charlotte's going to work with Asuka right now, I'm just saying. She's talked about wanting to start a family with Andrade, and I mean, look, Charlotte is, what is she now, 30, 35, 36. She wants to have a kid. I'm saying, you know, she can't wait too much longer. The older you get, the more dangerous it gets. At least that's what they say. So her working with Oscar right now, it could be a precursor to something else. I'm just saying. Groovy Goose. All this Undisputed talk has me worried Skip Bayless will join the commentary team in the coming week. If Skip Bayless joins the commentary team, I quit. I'm not watching anymore. That's it. I'm done. No more for me. Paul Carpenter, can you see Raw versus SmackDown at War Games? Yeah. If Triple H wants to do War Games and doesn't have existing feud on one of the shows strong enough to carry a War Games match, then I guess Raw versus SmackDown would make sense, and I'm actually okay with that if that's what they wanted to do. The whole Raw versus SmackDown concept that they were doing it the way they were doing it before was very tired and stupid, I thought. But if you had something tangible on the line and you took five of Raw's best and five of SmackDown's best, to me that would be worthy of War Games. And what that would be as far as what's on the line, again, it could be, it's that time of year where you could tie in, certain draws in the Royal Rumble matches or draft picks. I mean, the draft wouldn't happen until April or May, but there's always something you could come up with, something tangible that you could come up with, put on the line in a match. So Raw versus SmackDown at War Games, I could definitely see. It's the other, you know, champion versus champion non-title bullshit. I don't need to see that anymore. We don't need that. Dan Richards, why was LA Knight not in WWE? We already answered that. Thank you, Dan. Arabian Knight. When all is said and done, who will have the better career in terms of matches, promos, star power, and mark on the current and next generation? Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson, or CM Punk. It is close. It's close. I think you can credit both of them when they both got hot in WWE for really breaking down barriers that were there before for, you know, smaller talents and certain, and a lot of the talents from the independent scene that were typecast a certain way, I think, by WWE. They used to frown upon a lot of those indie talents, and then one day they just sort of opened the floodgates. And you look at their roster now, and a good chunk of it, frankly, is made up of people who made a name for themselves on the independent scene. And now we're finally starting to see more of the NXT talents break through. Someone like Bianca Belair, you know, you can say that she's a WWE project. You know, she's also a freak athlete, so she was always an incredible athlete. I think she would have found success no matter what. But it's not like she had a career on the independent scene before she came to the performance center. So Punk and Bryan, they both knocked down doors. Punk was at his peak, very popular. Bryan at his peak was popular in a way that I had not seen since Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not comparing him to Austin. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that up to that point, I had not seen anybody get hot in the way that Bryan did since Austin in the late 90s. The reactions that he was getting from some of those crowds was something I just had not seen in a very long time. Punk had a lot of great matches. Bryan had a lot of tremendous matches. As far as overall influence, I mean, in terms of promos, Punk wins hands down. As far as matches, I think Bryan gets the nod. In the ring, Bryan gets the nod. Punk gets the nod on promos. Star power, I would go Punk. Mark on the current and next generation, it's close. I would give the edge to Bryan. I almost think it's a wash, to be honest with you. If we're talking overall, it's very close. I would go Bryan Danielson. I would go Bryan Danielson, but it's close. If we're going WWE, it's Bryan. it's Brian. And a lot of that is just because Punk left. He could have had many more fruitful, productive, lucrative years for himself in WWE. Won more championships, had more classic matches, but he left. He left. Brian happened to get hurt around that same time, and then he had to retire, so he was also gone. But still, he stuck around. He eventually came back. It's very close. Overall influence, though, I would say Brian Danielson. In Bobby's World, 2110 with the $5 Super Chat. That second Super Chat was supposed to be a part of the first one, but I forgot, so I did the second one. Now I'm going to do another to clarify. Well, I'm glad that you clarified. I appreciate the extra $5. But Bobby, for all of your support tonight, thank you very much. Always good questions from Bobby's World. All right, so 350 was the goal tonight for Be the Booker. And we are at this moment presently at almost 450. So keep hitting that thumbs up. Helps the video out a great deal. I appreciate it. And let us go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Yeah, it's very, that's a great question, though. Very close. Punk and Brian were a very big influence on a lot of people in the wrestling business. You ask a lot of wrestlers, they would tell you that, oh, CM Punk was my favorite wrestler. And they would say that Brian Danielson was their favorite wrestler, even going back to his days in Ring of Honor. That's really where he made his mark for the first time. Brian Danielson is not the kind of person who was supposed to find success the way he did in WWE. And I'm sure the first time Vince McMahon looked at him, he probably felt the same way. In spite of that, he got over. But Punk also, there were people who wanted him gone from the company. Shawn Michaels, of all people, is the one who stood up for him and probably saved his job. You know, we've heard stories of Stephanie McMahon being the one to save John Cena from the chopping block back in 2003. Shawn Michaels probably saved CM Punk from the chopping block in WWE. Who knows how different things would be. All right, let's start with the men's Be the Booker. We book a men's match, a women's match, and a tag team match. I see all the Be the Booker emojis. Look at this, a flood of them in the live chat. We begin with, well, look at that, the man I just mentioned. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. This is, I could tell right away just from this photo, 1996. This was 1996 Shawn Michaels, probably during his run as the WWF champion. This is prime Shawn Michaels here. You're talking 96, 97 Shawn Michaels. It's going to be very hard for me to imagine an opponent that would force me to hit the buzzer here. This has got to be an automatic bell, I would think. Shawn Michaels going to go one-on-one with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Yeah, I would say that's an automatic bell, all right. Take this Ric Flair in this image. This is 1991-92 Ric Flair. This is WWF champion Ric Flair in this image against WWF champion Shawn Michaels. That's going to be at least a four and a half stars. Easily 4.5 stars. Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair is the first match. Should we even try booking anymore? Should we even try the women here? There's no way we could top what I just booked, but I guess we have to. I guess we have to try. All right, we begin with Trish Stratus. You know what I have to say to Trish? Thank you, Trish. Thank you, Trish. Got to acknowledge Trish. WWE Hall of Famer, former six-time women's champion, Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus going to go one-on-one with, fuck. Trish Stratus against Tamina. Moving on. You have a lot of very talented tag teams to choose from here. A lot of variety in Tag Team Be the Booker. Teams from WWE, from NXT, NWA, AEW. And we begin with the Rhodes Brothers, the former Raw Tag Team Champions with the big, look at this, the big copper belts. Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Who will Cody Rhodes and Goldust be defending the tag team titles against here? Let us get a drum roll, please. Defending those tag team titles against RVD and Sabu. Yeah, I always liked those ECW tag belts just because they reminded me of the Intercontinental time. I mean, clearly they jacked the Intercontinental design. RVD and Sabu, there's Fonzie. Bill Alfonso right in the middle. So how about that? Cody and Goldust against RVD and Sabu. So it really, Tamina's the only one who ruined it, really. Just kind of threw a bomb in the middle of everything. But otherwise, we had a hell of a Be the Booker here. Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. RVD and Sabu against the Rhodes Brothers. I'd take those two matches. That's your double main event right there. If I'm booking my card, I just booked my double main event. Where are those ECW belts? They're probably sitting in a fucking storage bin somewhere in Stamford. Cross and Scarlett, the modern day 96 Sable and Mark Mero. Hey, for Cross, I hope not. I hope not. 96 Mark Mero actually had a much better run than Karrion Kross has had. At least he won the Intercontinental Championship. Juan Ocampo, Solo Monster, undisputed hater of CM Punk and his fans. Just kidding. Of course. I mean, if everybody says it, it must be true, right? And Frankie Rodriguez, Motor City Machine Guns won the TNA titles. It would be pretty cool for them to have a match at Forbidden Door. Hell yeah, get them on the show, man. I don't see that happening because we're talking AEW and New Japan, so I don't know why they would have Impact talent on the show, so not going to happen, but I certainly would love to see them on TV. Or it is in the hands of a collector. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's in the hands of a collector, then I'm sure that one of these days on Most Wanted Treasures, they will send Mick Foley on a quest to go find them, and he'll offer $2,500 apiece to whatever collector has them. $2,500 and free tickets to Raw. Fuck your tickets. If I had those belts, like the legitimate, genuine ECW tag team titles, especially if they were signed, maybe, by some of the wrestlers, you'd have to be offering me a hell of a lot more than $2,500. Now, I'm pretty sure they're all in the warehouse. So, man, what I wouldn't do to bust into that warehouse one day, Ocean's 11 style. Ski mask over my head. Go searching through all the goodies they have in there. No, Blackjack Mulligan and Blackjack Lanza are not in Be the Booker. But the East-West connection is from AWA. Jesse Ventura and Adrian Adonis, they are in there. I don't know how far back the teams go. I don't know, like, if the Wild Samoans, if I have them in there. But, like, the Head Shrinkers, I believe, are in there. You know, Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas are not in there. It doesn't go back that far. Maybe it should. Maybe I should put Bruno Sammartino and Be the Booker. What do you think? I probably should. Yeah, maybe I'll add some more. I'll have to update Be the Booker. Anyway, thank you for all of the love, all the super chats, all the gifted memberships, the ones who bought memberships. You guys are awesome. Great way to end the week. And again, busy week coming up. We have Raw Monday night. We're going to be doing our next live watch along midday on Tuesday for everyone. But remember, members only in the live chat. So we'll get to interact and you can ask questions and you can talk amongst yourselves. But that will be members only. We have a lot of new members. So I'm sure for a lot of you, that won't be an issue. But just be aware of that. Wednesday Dynamite. Friday, no SmackDown stream next week, but next Saturday is the debut of AEW Collision, and I will be live on YouTube that night. So a little programming note for you. Episode 812 of The Sound Off, coming up this Sunday. Going to be talking about the Iron Sheik. Going to be talking about the latest Dark Side of the Ring on Magnum TA. And also talking a little bit about this first Collision. CM Punk working with Samoa Joe. Working with the Bullet Club Gold. We'll talk about all that on the Sunday podcast. Hey, Drew McIncock. Thank you for being a Sound Off superstar. Love you, brother. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. And I will see you back here for the Monday Night Raw stream live on Monday night. I'll see you then.